Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawire, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you too. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
Fantabulous. We're going to be talking about very interesting topic this afternoon. One that actually should be, I think, our daily occupation, addressing poverty and social issues. And we do know that injustice is, the cause of much of the suffering we're experiencing in our world. And the primary reason many people actually struggle with faith in God. And so many Christians believe the church can and should advocate for social justice issues and equality. But where do we then start with these things? And so this week, together with Pastor Mkandawire, we're going to be actually trying to decipher this and trying to unpack and hearing what is it that the church can do, avenues, etc., etc. And of course, we're expecting you to join us on +27 734 703 520. Now, Pastor, please share some scriptural references that touch on poverty, economic inequality, social justice, etc.
All right. There are quite a number of them in scripture, and so let me touch on a few. And as we go along throughout this discussion, we'll discuss a few more other points from scripture. There are five aspects that I would like to share from the onset. And these five aspects, mostly from the book of Proverbs. And to begin with, the first one is the fact that poverty is not nice. That's what scripture says. And so let me read a few verses here. Right. Let's begin with Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. So the Bible says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. That can't be nice, right?
Not nice at all.
And so scripture says poverty is not nice. That's what Proverbs 22:7 says. But let's also read Proverbs 19, verse 15. This is what it says. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. That is a result of poverty. And so poverty really is not nice. Chapter 19 itself, at verse 7, the Bible says this: all the brothers of the poor hate him because of his poverty. So how much more do his friends get far from him? Because of his poverty, people run away from him. Verse 4 says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. All these texts underscore the fact that poverty is just not nice. And then, chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, this is what the Bible says. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty. You personalize this poverty. When you sleep, you fold your hands to just rest a while. The Bible says, so shall your poverty come upon you like a brawler, and your need like an armed man. Poverty is not nice. Paul, when he speaks to the Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, he says, those who do not work should not eat. And everyone should work for their own food so that they live quietly and live on their own means. That is what Paul is saying. And this just underscores how bad poverty is. Apart from being bad, poverty can be overcome. That's the second aspect that scripture speaks of.
Okay.
How poverty can be overcome. And so in chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says this. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes. and you will be satisfied with bread. And so when we open our eyes, we love not sleep, we can overcome poverty. In chapter 6, we read from verse 10 and 11. But when we begin reading from verse 6, Solomon says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain or overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep?" Then it goes on to say, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And so we can overcome poverty. That is what scripture says.
Yeah.
These words that Solomon records in chapter 6, he also records in chapter 24. From verse 30 to verse 34, he records these same words. Now, interestingly, in chapter 24, the reason for this counsel is not because this brother was a sluggard and he had no idea what to do, but that his laziness did not stay him from the fact that he had no clue what to do. Okay. He knew exactly what to do. Mm. And so verse 30 says this, chapter 24 of Proverbs, verse 30. It says, "I went to the field of a lazy man." Mm. So this man owns land, but he's just lazy. And Solomon says, "I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction." Then he repeats those words, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And so here we have two scenarios. In chapter 6, this brother just has no clue what to do. But in chapter 24, this man has learned and he knows what to do, but he is just lazy, and they come to the same result. Mm. Both one who has no clue and one who is lazy, they all come to poverty. And so it is possible to overcome poverty. That is what scripture is saying. In chapter 14 of Proverbs itself, chapter 14 and verse 23, this is what the Bible records. "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." And so when we do labor, we will find poverty, and it is a sure way of overcoming poverty. So we've discussed two things. Poverty is not nice. Secondly, it can be overcome. Thirdly, the rich are not to look down on the poor.
Yes.
That is what scripture says. And so in Proverbs 21 and verse 13, this is what scripture records. Proverbs 21, verse 13. The Bible says, Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry but be not heard. Whoever shuts his ears from the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And so the Bible says we are not to look down on the poor. In chapter 22 and verse 22 and 23, scripture says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." And so God is very interested in all people, rich or poor, and he protects their plight. And so if we look down on the poor, God will also defend their cause, and it won't be well with us. In chapter 17, verse 5, this is what scripture says.
Yeah, yeah.
"He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at the calamity at calamity will not go unpunished. And so if we laugh at the poor because they are poor, the Bible says we will not go unpunished, because by doing so, we are mocking the maker of this poor man. And so we are not to look down on the poor. Number four, poverty will always be around. Very unfortunate thing. Poverty will always be with us. Matthew chapter 26, verse 11, Mark chapter 14, verse 7, and John chapter 12, verse 8, all say the same thing. Let me read Matthew, because they all record the same thing, all these texts. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 11, Matthew 26, verse 11. This is what the Bible says. For you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not have always. Now, when you look at how Mark records this verse, he adds something else. And so, something just because Mark adds something else. Let me just go to Mark also and read what Mark says. Otherwise, these three gospel writers record the same thing.
Right.
So Mark 14, verse 7, this is what Mark says. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. And so Mark also adds an injunction to do the poor good, because we'll always have the poor with us.
Mm.
Let's go back to Proverbs. In chapter 22, there's something interesting that the Bible says here. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 2. The Bible says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Very interesting aspect. God is the God of the poor and the rich, because he made both the rich and the poor. Not that he made some poor, some rich, but that he made all human beings the same. Poverty is a result of our own work culture. It is not something that God made, he made us to be. Poverty comes upon us as a result of how we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That is what scripture says. However, because we are human beings, God still has an interest in the poor. This is what this verse says. Now, the fifth thing, and lastly on this subject, on this aspect, eradicating poverty or rendering assistance to the poor is a good thing. That is what scripture says. So in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 7, this is what the Bible says. Chapter 19, verse 17, sorry. The Bible says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will pay back what he has given. And so it is a good thing to assist the poor, to help the poor out of their poverty, because when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, and the Lord is faithful, because he will repay that which we have given. Matthew also has something to say. In Matthew chapter 25, we have a common passage where Jesus refers to himself as having been visited while he was in prison, having been fed while he was hungry, and having been given raiment when he had no clothes. And this is an injunction for us to help the poor. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40. It's quite a long passage, but
yeah,
allow
yeah.
me to read.
All right, that's fine.
All right, thank you. Verse 34, Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? In verse 40, the Bible says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Exactly what Solomon says, when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. And being a faithful God, he will repay that which we have given. And so for the purpose of this question, I chose to just discuss these five aspects, and there is more that we will discuss as we go on.
Beautiful. Now, you read quite a number of verses, and thank you so much for response, Pastor. It's quite an expounded response and a very comprehensive. Thank you so much. Now, it seems that, you know, in some instances, poverty can be self-inflicted. Is that true? Because I heard you reading a verse that if you sleep too much, you're going to cause yourself poverty. So could it be that in certain instances, it is self-inflicted?
In almost all instances, it is self-inflicted. There are families that are poor, and as a result, they bequeath poverty to their children, and their children inherit poverty. And so their children seem to think this is poverty that was put on us as a result of, you know, inheritance from families. But the truth is, okay, you inherited poverty from your parents. What are you doing about your life? For as long as you don't learn what to do with your hands, because the thing is, every one of us have 24 hours, and every one of us have talents. The reason God gave talents to every human being is so that we may survive, we may live in this life, survive the harsh conditions of this life by our talents. And so when we come to the Lord by his grace, he changes that talent, develops it. If we have sharpened it, he develops it into a spiritual gift. Because that's the thing. Talents are raw material. That's what God gives us. We are born with, and those are for our subsistence. And when we come to the Lord, he adds spiritual gifts so that we may minister to others. But we minister with spiritual gifts. We don't minister with talents. Talent is for us to survive by. So the question is, you are 21 years old. You inherited poverty from your parents. We understand. But at 21, what are you doing with your life? What are we doing with your talent? And so when Solomon in chapter 6 of Proverbs and in chapter 24 of Proverbs speaks of the sluggard, he speaks of the sluggard in two different scenarios. One, in chapter 6, he has no clue what to do. In chapter 24, he has an idea what to do because this man owns land, but he's not doing anything about it. And so whether you have no clue what to do with your life, or whether you have raw material from which you can start, for as long as you're not doing anything to emancipate yourself out of poverty, the fault remains yours. You can't put the fault on anybody else. And so the truth is, according to the wisdom of Solomon, poverty is self-inflicted. In whatever way you look at it.
Now, how can we apply the regulations given in Leviticus 19:9-10 in our present day context? I mean, that's the scripture that talks about us, you know, when it says when you harvest, but leave mm-hmm. some for the poor, leave the edges to the poor. It says don't go back to look for the, you know, the grapes that have fallen, etc., etc. Of course, that's mm-hmm. what is in the context of the farming those days in those yes. centuries. But how would we then interpret this or apply this in the present day context?
Oh yeah, back in the Levitical days, land and farming was the source of livelihood back then. And so it made sense that God would tell them, you know, when you make your livelihood, leave some for the poor. In our today's context,
yeah,
God expects the same thing. This time around, we have different sources of income. And from those sources, God expects us to still be generous to the poor. Now, most of the poor in the time of this law in Leviticus, most of the poor were a result of being strangers to Canaan because they were not part of the families that inherited land. So they came along with them, or they came from different parts of the world and joined them. And so they did not have land. They did not have a livelihood. And as a result, God says, you must provide for them too. Love them as you love yourselves. In today's context, we have different sources of income. God expects that from our different sources of income, we have something for the poor. Mm-hmm. In other words, God expects that we run charitable
activities.
Aspects of our lives in our individual homes. He does not expect us to come together, group together, and then run an orphanage, run a charitable organization. He expects that from our little individual income as individuals, we help others who are less fortunate than we are. That's how God expects us to live, because he says the poor you will always have. And so you can do them good at your own time. And so God expects that we do this. Let me read one text.
Okay, all right.
This is in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. Let me read from verse 6 to verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9,
verse 6 to 9.
This is what scripture says. So, this is what the Bible says.
Right.
But I say to you, chapter 9, verse 6. But I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. This is how God expects us to live.
Yeah.
With our little income, we identify those we can help from our little resources, and just help lift them out of their poverty and help one person at a time. When we disperse abroad, we give to the poor, it is counted on us as righteousness. So poor. And like Solomon says, God will always repay that which we give heartedly, because he is a faithful God. And when we give to the poor, he takes it as though we lend to him. Mm-hmm. And so because the poor will always have, he expects that we identify those we can help, those we can lift out of their poverty. And that's the best way, actually, to help the poor. Not help them day in, day out, day in. Help them out of the poverty so that you move from this person to the next someday, so that we help one person at a time. And at the end of the day, you will have helped a number of people with your little income and resources. That's how God expects us to live.
I hear you, Pastor, and I really need to let you go, but I do need to touch on this one literally very, very briefly in a minute. Because I've heard you talking about the poor will always be with us, et cetera, et cetera. Now, can we really truly ever eradicate poverty altogether? Or it's something that, because you're saying that they're always going to be there, which means that this exercise really, it's going to just be perpetual, eh?
Yes. I wish we had the time, but I think we can just take this verse. Genesis 12, verse 3. This is where God tells Abraham why he chose him and why he is blessing him, so that through him, all the families of the earth may be blessed. Now, this is what God is saying. All the families of the earth may be blessed. Now, the kind of blessing is really salvation. That's the kind of blessing that God is speaking of. But the kind of blessing that God gave to Abraham so he may be a blessing to all the families of the earth is not only salvational, it was also wealth. And so if we are to bless the whole world, if we are the children of Abraham through whom the whole world must be blessed, we should be wealthy ourselves so that we can extend a hand. Because how do we extend a hand if we don't have? So we must have. So we should be wealthy first. And then as we bring the blessing of salvation to others, we also bring the good news of how God has blessed us with talent and we can survive our talents. And so we bring the blessing of wealth along. In other words, according to God's plan, it is possible to bless every human being, to lift every human being out of poverty. It is possible. But is it going to happen? Well, in the words of Jesus Christ, this is what he says. Mark chapter 14, verse 7.
Very briefly, in a minute.
For you have the poor with you always. Let's just end there. We'll always have the poor with us because Jesus says so. Not because he says so, but because sin persists. And for as long as sin persists, while God is blessing his people, there will always be a counter on the other hand. You see, the problem is not everyone will be saved and not everyone wants to be saved. As a result, we will not eradicate poverty completely, but we can do our part. Just brighten your corner where you are, one person at a time. That is all that God expects of us.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor Mkanda Wira, thank you so much for your time. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.